Run for cover. This is Radioactive Sports with superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson.
I take pride in my hair.
Feel that? Radioactive Sports in the afternoon on Sports Radio 105, The Ticket.
Helfy falling behind, two balls and no strikes. The right-hander Roczen delivers. Ground ball up the middle. Fielded by Pelfrey. It's stuck in his glove. He's going to walk over and throw his glove to Maurer. And Maurer catches the ball and his glove for the out. Well, Pelfrey thought about, hey, where's the ball? And he saw that it was stuck in between a couple of fingers of the glove. Did the right thing. Kind of ran it halfway over there and then took his glove off. And Maurer catching the whole glove and baseball. Nice play.
Pretty cool. Saw it on Fox 9. Our very own Jim Rich having that little highlight clip of Pelfrey just scrambling to get the ball out of his glove. It's wedged in there. I've had it happen to me playing softball, baseball. And smart. Get the glove off and throw it over. I mean, it's good. It's a good play. It was a great play. And Joe Maurer makes the catch. Doesn't even look surprised to catch his glove.
I think they were both a little scatterbrained there a little bit, going, oh, God, what's going on? Manager Paul Molitor said, I had no idea what was going on from the dugout going, yeah. I really hope the ball stuck in there. And the ball was literally stuck the glove.
You can see it
as the glove is going head over tail to Joe Maurer. You see the ball hanging on, but it's in there. It's locked in there.
Yeah, I mean, if Maurer had to take the ball and make another play, or like at the plate or over to double someone out, he wouldn't have got it done.
Uh-uh.
No way. So very clever and heads up. And the new way of being a Twin baseball player is being innovative and creative and thinking on your feet.
That's what the Piranhas did.
And
that's what I think when we were talking to Al Newman earlier this week, or I think it was last week, when you asked, are the Piranhas back? Are these the new Piranhas?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's exactly what you were talking about.
Yep.
Finding ways to win, doing the little nitty-gritty dirtbag stuff that really counts, running hard on the bases, playing solid defense, not being the guys like the Puntos and some of the guys that really didn't have superstar talent. And I hate to use that word because I hate to use your name in vain.
I think Nick Punto was actually pretty nifty.
God, I hate it.
He could play a lot of different stuff. He ended up pretty good with what? The Dodgers, right? Or the Cardinals.
The A's. I mean, he's been on all of them.
But you have to be heads up. I like a heads up ball player in any sport. I mean, Aaron Hicks, you're not a heads up player. Doesn't know how many outs are in the inning. Doesn't know this, that. Yeah, that's him.
Aaron Hicks.
That's Aaron Hicks right
Every
there.
Team has an Aaron Hicks, and I want to kind of run down it because I'll talk to you about this coming up in 4.5 questions at 4:30. The Aaron Hicks, obviously, of the Twins is Aaron Hicks. Who's the Aaron Hicks of the Minnesota Vikings?
Oh, my God. You mean you're asking me that for real?
I know, but I want
you. Of course you know.
I want
Cordero
you,
Patterson.
Okay, I completely agree. Who's the Aaron Hicks of the Timberwolves?
Let me think about this just a second. It could be a number of guys, the younger guys. I mean, you want to say Zach LaVine a little bit.
No, Zach LaVine actually tries.
But I don't know if he knows what's going on yet.
Sure, but I think he tries to know what's going on.
I think he's a super talented kid, and I think he's going to be great.
Yeah.
But
he's too good to be the Aaron Hicks at the Timberwolves.
I mean, it can't be Pekovic, it can't be Martin,
It's another one of the younger guys. He's a former number one overall draft pick.
No.
Yeah.
Not Andrews.
Nope. Not Andy.
I mean, not Andy.
The other guy. Anthony Bennett.
Oh, and Bennett, yeah. Jeez, what am I thinking about? God, it's right there, and I didn't.
Well, he's been injured. He's been playing for so long.
He's sticking out like a sore thumb.
He's easy to forget about because he is a bitch. And I'll ask you questions about, because I want to say, he said in an article the other day saying he's ready to reach his potential.
Okay. Well, we're waiting.
Yeah.
We're waiting.
He's been injured for a couple of weeks, and he's coming back here. Who is the Aaron Hicks of the Minnesota Wild, though? As I was thinking about the question. Who could it be for the Wild?
Kind of Kemper, kind of.
Yeah.
I would have said Vanek a little while ago.
Two months ago,
I would have said Vanek, but I wouldn't say that now.
But Vanek's had a heck of a career. Talking about young guys with all this potential coming in and just doing nothing.
Yeah, they've talked so big about Granlund. They've talked so much about Coyle came back, though. He came back for all of us.
But there isn't that one player in Minnesota Wild that you see that it sticks out like a sore thumb.
Kemper kind of took a back seat here a little bit. I don't know. I guess nothing sticks out like a Bennett. Oh, my God. How'd I miss that?
Yeah.
That was easy. I don't know. I mean, I could have almost said like last year. I think it would have been a little bit easier with Heatley or something like that. But I don't know. Guys that don't try or want to.
Yeah.
That's the kind of guy. And Vanek was fitting that bill really, really well for a while.
But the only reason Vanek doesn't fit in as the Aaron Hicks of the Minnesota Wild, because he's had a really good career before he came to Minnesota. And obviously now he's picked up his game and scored a couple of goals, I want to say, the other night when we had that 6-2 victory. But
who would you have said?
For the Wild?
Before the All-Star break. Because Coyle wasn't doing what he was supposed to.
I'd say Kemper, for sure. I think you were right on with Kemper.
Mm-hmm.
Because it almost looked like there was, hello? Anybody home? The lights are on, but nobody's home up there. Just letting goals come by like a sieve. Just unbelievable.
Unbelievable. And that's a guy that showed a lot of ability. The way Aaron Hicks has, too. He's shown ability. Get in the game, though.
Yeah.
Be in the game.
Just when you think, because Aaron Hicks is either boom or bust, in my opinion. He either hits a home run or he strikes out.
Yeah. There are those kind of players.
But then when he does get on base, then he gets doubled up or has a base running error or whatever.
Stupid.
But he's pretty good in center field. I mean, he's one of the better center. I mean, we've had a long stretch of great center fielders here.
Agreed.
And defensively, I have no complaints whatsoever.
Al Newman, great comments yesterday. I think it's not really so much that he doesn't care or try. I don't think he can handle the pressure. He said that about Aaron Hicks. I don't think he can deal with pressure. I know a lot of guys like that.
But at the same time, I asked Al Newman, is he dumb? Can he just not handle
That's not it, though.
But it's not that he's dumb. It's just that he's overwhelmed?
Yes.
But that makes me think he's dumb.
No, it's different.
How is it different?
It's different. The heat of the moment stuff puts you in a place where you're paralyzed, where you can't move. You're froze.
So it's almost like
somebody, a deer in the headlights. It has nothing to do with intelligence.
It's almost like somebody studying for a test. And they're great. They know everything. You quiz them as a friend or your mom or dad. You know everything that could ever possibly be on the test. But then you get down to the nitty gritty dirt band, is what I like to call it. Love that band, by the way.
They were good.
But then you get down and the pressure's on and you have the pencil, the number 2 pencil. You got to fill in the ovals.
Don't blow it, right? Don't blow it.
It's like you forgot everything.
It's like studying a speech, rehearsing a speech in front of the mirror. It's just you, the speech, and the mirror. Then you go out and you appear in front of, say, a couple hundred people. And you thought you went through it enough, and you thought you had everything in your head. Then you go out there and, oops.
Oopsie dangers.
I mean, as good as some stand-up comedians are, the greatest ones have said, look, there have been moments where it's the 5-minute flop sweat. And where you don't know a single thing about your gig or your routine. So the whole sketch goes away. I think that happens an awful lot. If you can't handle pressure, it's tough to play professional sports. Or any sport. You know, Division I. I mean, you have to know what you're doing. A coach, a good Division I coach won't let you out there. Is right.
I'm flummoxed. There's so many things that happened. As of yesterday, obviously last night, the Minnesota men's Gopher basketball team probably done for the year.
More than likely.
I mean, they're probably not going to the NIT. There's a good chance.
Yeah, they gave Ohio State a pretty good game. They hung in there for a while. They were in there for a while.
Yeah.
They lost.
But there's a pretty good chance they're not going to make the NIT even.
Very likely.
Just ridiculous.
It seems very likely.
And Richard Pitino said there's a 99% chance that he will decline an invitation if he gets one to the CIT or the CBI. Ever heard of those?
No, I really haven't.
In fact,
I have.
I hadn't. In fact, DeAndre Matthew last night after the game goes, hey, never even heard of that. I'd rather just go to the rec center.
Yeah. I go out and play pickup and hope our team wins the pickup tournament. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, who wants to go to that? I think that if you tried to tell recruits that you decided you'd hit the old, what is it, the CIT?
Or the CBI.
Or the CBI. I think a kid would say, I know now that I don't want to come to your school.
No kidding.
I don't want to be coached by you.
I mean, who are you playing? You're playing Gustavus? I mean, nothing against Gustavus, but when you're a Big Ten school like the University of Minnesota, what teams do you play in the CBI or the CIT?
A really, really small, unheard of schools.
Are you playing...
You're playing like Morningside.
Are you playing Hennepin Tech?
You're playing Hennepin Tech.
What's Morningside?
It's a school in Iowa. It's a pretty good little school, 4-year school.
Are you playing, okay, well, if you're going to go hometown, I'm going to go Southeast Vocational Technical Institute. Are you going to play those guys? They build computers.
Yeah, I know a kid that played football there, I think.
No, I don't think they have sports down there.
I will find which one that is. It's a JC, though.
Okay.
This one that I'm talking about is JC, and this kid turned out to be a hell of a football player. Ended up his last 2 years at Arizona, and He played every down for, at Arizona with the Wildcats.
I'm gonna have to look in to see who was in the CBI and the CIT last year. But
that sure, that would be a good one to look up.
God,
I don't think we want to be known for the team that participated in the CBI or the CIT.
College
I don't want to be in that
invitation.
Don't go to that. Where's it held? In like, let me see. A good place to hold that would be like Gary, Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good place.
Yeah. Perfect. Last year in the CBI, the national champion in the CBI was Siena.
Ah.
Siena Saints, men's basketball team.
Siena.
They are from the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference.
Okay. Siena.
And Siena College.
Well, the Golden Gophers could participate in that. They might be making history if they do, but that'd be like the first Big Ten team that ever participated in the big CIT.
No idea. Santa Clara was the champion in 2013.
Ah, Santa Clara.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had basketball at Santa Clara.
Bradley.
Oh, well,
Bradley was a runner-up in 2008. Creighton. Well, Matt Creighton, Durham Hall.
Those are pretty good teams there.
St. Louis.
Okay.
Washington State. George Mason.
Well, that's credible. That's very credible. Yeah, St. Louis.
It's still just a
St. Cluster. Louis.
Some movement on former Vikings signing free agent contracts. Minnesota Vikings still doing nothing. And Viking players being signed by other teams now with a possibility. I mean, there was a chance.
Need a middle linebacker now.
Oh, God. We need so many things now. It's so frustrating.
Now we need a middle linebacker.
We have to take a break, but we'll talk about where Christian Ponder and Percy Harvin have signed or are going to sign.
Mm.
Jasper Brinkley has gone. We'll tell you where he went.
Off and running.
And there's a big-time free agent at Winter Park today. We'll see if that happens. Tell you that guy's name, all about that, coming up.
Hopefully Mike Zimmer can convince him of how important he is to him. But next, and I hope this is correct, Ben, because I know you're flying by the seat of your pants the way I am today with all the basketball going on.
There's nothing on that paper that will tell you what's coming up next, by the way. I just told you what we'll talk about next.
It sounded like we should probably...
Are you the Aaron Hicks of radio today?
I don't think so. I think you're the Aaron Hicks of this sheet. I think you're the Aaron Hicks of this sheet right here.
Percy Harvin, Christian Ponder, where did they go?
I know that, but...
Jasper Brinkley, where did he go?
Okay, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Let's take another minute or so.
Okay.
We can always talk about those three guys pretty quickly.
Uh-huh.
After we talk about those three guys, did you still want to introduce anyone during that next segment?
Nope.
I think we've got this cleared up really well now. Barely. Come on back. Radioactive Sports.
The high-flying Timberwolves are in town. Stop by Hubert's and join superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson, broadcasting live before every Wednesday home game.
The superstar Mike Morris and I will have Timberwolves players and coaches on the air, as well as our awesome ticket girl sampling North Lake beer.
Plus, Hubert's will have adult root beer floats made with Kilbrew root beer and North Lake beer on tap.
Wolves Wednesday, presented by North Lakes Brewing and Kilbrew root beer. Live from Hubert's, starting at 4 before every Wednesday Wolves home game on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Back to superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson on 105 The Ticket.
Man, I'm telling you what, I've had dry heaves all morning.
That was a pretty wet one, but that's what happens when I think of or about to say the name Christian Ponder.
He's taking off. He's going somewhere. What are you blurping up for?
No, just all the memories and the interceptions and the fumbles. Oh, by the way, Ponder, 6'2", 229, completed 632 of 1,057 passes, 6,658 yards in regular season play, only committed 46 turnovers, throwing 38 touchdowns, then rushed for 7 touchdowns. Raiders reportedly meeting with the former starting quarterback for the Minnesota Vikings, according to Fox Sports. Top pick in 2011. He was the 12th overall pick.
Yeah,
27 years old, started 36 games in 4 seasons with us. Pro Football Talk ranks him the 106th free agent. Out of 100, by the way.
Reportedly being offered to a 1-year deal and is expected to sign that.
Of course he's going to sign that.
He has one chance, and that's a good chance to at least reprove something. I don't know what, that you just needed a change of a team and a new coaching staff, and to sort of reboot yourself in front of some new teammates and new fan base. Look, Maybe something's in the tank. I don't know. There were always flashes of Christian Ponder finally getting it and understanding what to do and where to put the football. But then it was always so dicey. It was always so back and forth and inconsistent. You can't live with inconsistency at the quarterback position, really at any position.
No, and he needed to get out of Minnesota because he was coming in here to be the next franchise quarterback. That obviously didn't happen. And so for those feelings, because, I mean, I know it's a business and I know it's men and I know, but everybody has feelings. And so these feelings that he had was carrying around and the team thinking, oh, he was the former franchise quarterback. Now he's the third string and everybody hates him.
Yep.
He just needed to get out of here and have a fresh start. But a 1-year contract in Oakland, when you're behind Derek Carr, who had this almost the same exact, very similar numbers as Ted Bridgewater did last year.
Yeah, he looks good.
You've been a big fan of his from the beginning. There's also Matt Schaub, who's owed $5.5 million. He'll probably be gone if they sign Christian Ponder. But the best thing about Christian Ponder is that we've always heard is that he's great in practice. And he's a smart guy, and he can come in and he can help a guy like Derek Carr, who's rookie last year, and be a valuable member of a team. And you were also saying the other day, too, when Jake Locker, who was the same draft class, retired after 4 years, you can make a living, lots of money, being a backup quarterback carrying that clipboard for 10, 12, 15, 18 years.
If you do a good job in practice, and you never end up in games, but you keep proving, at least in practice, that you're capable, and you just are that kind of guy, you're a good, you know, a good backup and the kind of guy that is in the ear all the time of the starting quarterback to help him out. Not that Ponder is all knowing and all full of experience and everything else and the guy to trust with helping somebody out that's young. He still is relatively young himself in many ways.
For sure.
But I did like the fact that Christian Ponder would never go and hole up somewhere by himself on the bench. He was always over at least talking with Teddy Bridgewater. Always. Whenever he had a chance, you could see him and Scott Turner and Bridgewater looking at it. And so was Castle. Castle was the same way with him. When he was injured, whatever the case, he was over there with Bridgewater.
That's why I think if he ends up in Oakland, it's a good deal for Oakland and it's a good deal for Derek Carr because Christian Ponder can say, look here, I was a first-round draft pick. Derek Carr was a second-rounder, wasn't he? Yeah, because he was drafted after Teddy Bridgewater. Mm-hmm. But still coming in a high draft pick, a future franchise quarterback, and say, here are some of the stumbles that I've made coming into the NFL and maybe can help you avoid those. I would have loved, like I said, without the last 4 years of Christian Ponder, if I was a team like the Oakland Raiders and Christian Ponder was out there and I had a young quarterback, I'd say, yeah. I think he'd be a valuable addition to the team, but at the same time,
a different offense. Maybe there is something in there to come in as a backup. And Jack Del Rio,
Musgrave. Isn't Musgrave the offensive coordinator?
I think he's out there now. Yeah, Del Rio is the new head coach. It's his second head coaching stint. Also, having been the head coach with Jacksonville for quite a while. But Jack is known for great defense. He was a great defensive coach with Baltimore, with Carolina, with the Saints. He's been, and with the Denver Broncos, and when Fox went down with the bad heart right before the Super Bowl, about 5-6 weeks going into that Super Bowl game with Peyton Manning's first season, Del Rio was the interim head coach until Fox was back on the sidelines. He did a good job, and that's where he won this new popularity game with becoming a head coach again.
But he had to go to the black hole, which is the Oakland Raiders, probably the worst franchise to go to in the NFL.
Got a lot of money for him to spend, though, and he's spending it.
But they can't. But that's what I was hearing. Tiki and Tierney the other day, our mid-morning show here on 105 The Ticket from 8 to 11, they were saying that Oakland may have a lot of cap money, but they don't have any cash. And so they can't go out and spend it on people because when you, like, for example, the Miami Dolphins signed Ndamukong Suh, $60 million guaranteed.
And guess who else, by the way?
Who?
Jordan Cameron. When we that he went back to the damn Browns.
There's a lot to talk about.
I don't want to get off track.
A lot of misinformation yesterday on
Twitter,
by the way.
That was some bad stuff going on about that. That was just ridiculous information on Jordan Cameron. He signed with the Dolphins.
And I want to say that the same thing with the Cordarrelle Patterson information we found out on Twitter as we're on the air. We can't necessarily talk to our sources and talk to our people as much as we can when we're off the air.
Yeah.
And so we're going by what people are saying on tweets. And there was a rumor going around that the Vikings are trying to trade Cordarrelle Patterson. And everybody from the Star Tribune and the Pioneer Press, after we got off the show yesterday, said that's ludicrous. It's not happening. Not trying to trade Cordarrelle Patterson, which I think would be... I think it would be too soon to give up on Cordarrelle Patterson.
It'd be too quick. It really would. I mean, there's a lot there, if they can find it. He needs another year under the same coach. He's been passed off from, I don't know, I think he had 1 year in J.C., on to Tennessee, into the pros, another set of head coach, of coaching staff. He's got to get grounded. He doesn't know football yet. That's all there is to it. And if he does, and they finally tap into it, then fine. That'll be the moment, the crowning moment and achievement if someone can finally reach that guy.
Jacksonville. Dang. Signing some people. What about, there are all these trade scenarios, and some guy called up and said, what happens if we trade the 11th overall pick in Adrian Peterson to the Cleveland Browns? They have 12 and 19.
That was funny. Yesterday was kind of a good...
I heard another one this morning from a guy who says he talks and texts to people more than you know. He was saying on his dealio, how about trading Adrian Peterson and our first-round draft pick to the Jacksonville Jaguars, who I think take pick third or fourth?
Okay.
For their first and second round draft pick.
Interesting.
Does that seem ludicrous to you too?
It's interesting. Well, no, because it's Adrian Peterson's part of the trade, and you finally get something for him instead of just dropping him.
But do you think teams would be willing to actually do that? I mean, because you gaffed at the guffawed at the 12th and 19th pick. Well, we're talking third
or
fourth
saying
overall
who would do
pick.
It. I don't know about that, but now we're talking a much different game. It's our first-round draft choice, which is 11 overall, and Adrian Peterson, whose name carries a lot of weight. But you're moving up to three? Up to three.
Yeah.
Well, that's quite an upgrade. That's a big up. I mean, I know it's Adrian Peterson.
And then you
also get
the second-round draft pick, which is the third overall pick in the second round as well.
That's fantastic. I love the way it sets up. It's just not very realistic.
That's what
Who's going to take Adrian Peterson's contract? And
that's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
Is that realistic, or is that
it's
just
not realistic?
Plain old ludicrous?
I love the deal,
yeah.
But it can't happen. You can make them sound as good as you want to, but there isn't anyone that's going to assume that kind of money in a running back of that age.
Yeah.
Plus, you're number 11. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, okay. Now we're $12.5 million into that running back.
Mm-hmm.
And then we still have to sign our number one, mm-hmm. or the number 11.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I don't know. Look, Adrian, if he brings anything above a second-round draft choice in trade, we win. If we can find a first-rounder in Adrian Peterson, a trade with Adrian, we win.
Mm-hmm.
Big.
I agree.
I'll take two first-round draft choices on our own, based on what we want to do with who we want to pick. And dump that kind of cash? Are you kidding?
Would you trade Adrian Peterson and our 11th selection in the second round for a first-round draft pick?
Adrian and our second, we give our second?
Mm-hmm.
No, probably not. Probably not, no. I don't like the value of that. A big risk, a ton of money, you do dump. You do dump that, but you also give them a second to get their first?
Well, if it's a higher first, you might have to do that, though, because as most people are saying, a third or fourth round pick is what you're going to get for Adrian Peterson. We've run out of time here, but we didn't even talk where Percy Harvin went, Jasper Brinkley went, what the Vikings are doing today, who they're hosting at Winter Park, and we've got some other things we've got to get to, plus a big show, Jerry Zagoda coming up at 4:15 to talk about our favorite Minnesota Timberwolves, 4.5 questions. I'm becoming good friends with the St. Paul Saints. They have the grand opening for CHS Field, their brand new field down in Lowertown tomorrow.
Well, our good friend, I mean, we have a call every now and then, Bill Murray.
Yeah, Bill Murray.
So we're tied in.
He was busy. So we're going to get the voice of the St. Paul Saints, Sean Aronson, on at 4:45. And they've got all sorts of great things packed, prepared for tomorrow. I'll be down there from 11 to noon.
Nice.
We'll talk about that coming up. Brian Murphy, our guy about the Minnesota Vikings from the Pioneer Press and TwinCities.com, is coming in for the hour, the 5 o'clock hour.
We'll talk about. He also dresses extremely well.
Amazing. He said he's going to bring a top hat and tails today. He'll be with us for the hour, 5 o'clock hour, as we kind of recap what the Minnesota Vikings haven't done basically this week. I'm starting to get fed up a little bit here. And then we wrap up the show in 6.
He's going to come in here with a top hat.
I think
tails.
So.
We'll start calling him Monopoly.
And a pimpin' cane.
Yeah, nice. He's a pimp anyway, for real. Come on back. We will talk the talk. Everything that Ben just said, and then more. Maybe even more than that.
Probably more.
Let's just hope so. What are we called again? Radioactive Sports? We're talking sports, right?
Yeah.
That's all we do is talk sports, sports, sports. Let's come on back and do that.
The fight for the dance happens this week when the Big Ten basketball championships are on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
Right. Splitting the defense. Knifing down the lane.
It's time to decide the champion on the hardwood.
Triple pull up from 17. He buried it again. He's feeling it now.
The Big Ten basketball tournament semifinals on The Ticket right after an extended one and done basketball show. Saturday at 11:45 a.m.
Oh, yeah! Two-handed smash
on Sports Radio 105 The Ticket.
all we've got to do is talk about these doggone players coming to and from and free agency and all the cracks.
Oh, is that it?
They fall in between. And then, then we got Jerry Zagoda. I mean, he's going to be on with it. Brian Murphy's going to be on with us. We got Jim Rich coming on with us at 5:15, as he always does.
Your favorite guy, Wally Langfellow.
Wally Langfellow.
Talking at 6:30 about the high school basketball championship game tomorrow night right here on Sports Radio.
My Shakopee Sabres. They got knocked out by Champlain Park last night. We gave them a hell of a game.
Champlain Park hasn't lost a game all year.
Undefeated, yep. Undefeated.
Would you say that they're better or worse than Lakeville North in the hockey side? Because remember, they were undefeated. They won the championship.
31-0. The results will be the judge of this if they run the table. The 4A championship game. Number one, Champlain Park. Number two, Apple Valley. Look out. It's Tyus Jones' brother. It's Gary Trent's son.
Woo! It's the greatest time to be a part of 105 The Ticket and a listener, too. I mean, we have college basketball, the Big Ten tournament wrapping up. Is it tomorrow? Tomorrow wrapping up. College women's hockey.
I think so.
All day tomorrow.
That's pretty good, though. This is going to be fun. Man, I can't be Shakopee. One of the three teams that led at halftime against Champlain Park at halftime. One of three teams. It looked like they had them on the ropes. Son of a. I'm out in Shakopee. My daughter goes to Shakopee.
Did she go to the game last night?
She went the day before for like three games down at Target Center, and then she didn't make it last night.
Get out of school for that, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
God, I remember those days. That was great.
Well, it was fun. She saw like three games down there. Shakopee just running and gunning and gave Champlain Park a pretty good game last night. I think it was like 67-58, something like that. Good game. I don't know what's going to happen. Free agency. Nothing's going to happen, apparently.
Here. Nothing's
plenty of stuff happening
Minnesota
with our
Vikings.
Guys, though, away from... Yeah. They're signing guys away from our team. I know that much.
Doesn't it just make you sick to your stomach a little bit? I mean, I understand the fact we were at Tom Reed's on Tuesday at the beginning of NFL free agency. Nothing necessarily big happened Tuesday. We signed Sean Hill. We resigned some of our guys. Wednesday happened. Minnesota Viking fans start to get up in arms. And 651-989-9105, I want to talk to you Minnesota Viking fans that think it's as ludicrous as I do now. Because not only are we not signing guys, we're losing guys. We lost Chris Culliver, the cornerback. He signed elsewhere.
From Frisco.
We were chasing him. He had a bunch of baggage. Clint Bowling ended up re-signing with the Bengals. Cincinnati Bengals. Mike Iupati went to the Arizona Cardinals. Now Jasper Brinkley, our middle linebacker, is going to the Dallas Cowboys. I mean...
Send someone up this way.
Hello, we need football players up here.
There goes Christian Ponder. I know you're disappointed.
We've got a football team that we need to suit up 11 guys on each side of the ball.
But I guess maybe when you think about some of the things that we've talked about all week long while this has been going on is that we have managed to find people in the shadows of all the greatness and all the great free agents out there and all the money. The Tom Johnsons are out there. I mean, we found him, and that turned out to be good money well spent. But then you live by the draft in this day and age.
And I get this team. I get that. But is there anybody necessarily on the roster right now? And Tom Johnson's, like Rick Spielman said, is a once in a deal. I mean, that doesn't have, it's a diamond in the rough type of situation. You're not going to find all these Tom Johnsons that can come in here and you sign for a little money and a 1-year deal that can come in and make a big impact like Tom Johnson did last year. That just doesn't happen. So who's going to start at left guard?
We still need one.
Who's going to start a middle linebacker?
We just signed our incumbent middle linebacker away from the squad. I don't know if they're looking from someone from within. I don't know if Hodges is that kind of guy or not.
I don't think he's a middle linebacker guy. I mean, unless they're thinking about moving Chad Greenway inside. He's about the only guy that can
marry
Audie Cole, everybody. Although I don't think that Zimmer's as high on him as the rest of us are.
I'll take Zimmer's word for it. He looks it. He looks it. Every time he goes in, he plays like it.
Are you going to be okay with our cornerback crew, Josh Robinson, Captain Munnerlin?
Until we draft, yeah.
Well, until Trey
fine.
Wayne's,
everybody. I'll be fine. Trey Wayne's going to be our number one draft choice at 11.
Fine with Robert Blanton at safety starting? I know you are.
Actually, I'm okay.
I don't think Mike Zimmer is.
I need another year with Robert Blanton. Hopefully, we can keep him healthy through training camp and through exhibition season, as I call it. Give him one more year. Then, if he doesn't prove it, 106 tackles last year, led the team. Not bad. One interception, I know. Yeah, he's let some people get past him.
But only because there were no other options. Mike Zimmer was trying to do everything he possibly could.
A lot of other people around him could have been making those tackles, now.
He was trying to bring in, he brought in Chris Crocker. He brought in the guy from the Eagles. What was his nuts name? Eric Thompson or something like that? Coleman. Number 41, I want to say.
And he sent those guys packing.
Yeah, because
Blanton turned them around and sent them out the back door.
Did he really?
Well, yeah, he did. I mean, Zimmer was the coach. I mean, that's Zimmer's guy. I mean, you talked about Crockett. That was a Zimmer guy. He said, no, you're not. You're getting beat out by this kid. Go home.
What do you think about what the Buffalo Bills are doing? Rex Ryan, the new coach. There's finally some excitement for the guys in Western New York. They made the trade. They have LeSean McCoy. They just today signed Percy Harvin to a one-year deal. They obviously have our old quarterback. They have our old fullback. Jerome Felton and Matt Cassel.
They're
building something on that offense.
They're going ballistic.
This might be the best offense Rex Ryan has ever had.
So far, they, I think, might be winning this thing. As we sort of look from the outside in at free agency and, you know, the grading system and who's making the best upgrade decisions and based on money spent and the return, ROI, I think the Bills are doing about as good a job as anybody from their head coach, who I think is kind of a coach still waiting to happen for some reason. I don't know. There's a part of me that says if you give him a big-time defense, which will be there in Buffalo waiting for him, he won't need to change too many pieces there. And revamp the offense. I think Spiller signed today also with the Saints.
Mm-hmm. But they brought in LeSean McCoy. I mean, there's no room for C.J. Spiller. Well, they still have Fred Jackson.
That's what I like. No, it's an upgrade to get rid of Spiller
and
to pick up the human joystick.
Yeah.
I think he's made some good moves offensively. He's a defensive-minded coach. Offensively, someone's either been in his ear to spend money on the positions that he spent money on.
It's new ownership, though, in Buffalo, isn't it?
Yes, there is.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's incredible. When you the names you just listed, McCoy and Cassel and Harvin.
And Jerome and Felton.
And Felton to block for
And they
McCoy.
Still have Fred Jackson.
I mean, honestly, that is not. There's a guy by the name of Watkins that plays there. He's a receiver.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, he ain't bad, and Castle's not bad either.
No.
Castle is not bad. So, I don't know. I mean, the court is out. The jury's out. And I think that Rex Ryan is doing pretty well for himself thus far, but I think Jacksonville's doing pretty well for themselves, too.
Back to the Minnesota Vikings with Michael Johnson here visiting Winter Park today. What are the chances you think he gets signed before the end of this week and before the end of our show even? He's going to be here through Saturday. There's a decent chance he wears his first free agent visit since being cut from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Mm-hmm. What are the chances you think if they get something done? How long is the contract? How much of the money? Because he signed a 4-year, $55 million deal last year. Or no, it was a 5-year, $44
million. Yeah, mid-40s. Yeah. And that's a lot of money.
A ton of money.
If that does happen, I don't know what that means. I think it could happen. I think that Zimmer does like him. I think that he does want him here. I think they will make a big play for him. And if they do, I'm not totally sure what message that is to Brian Robinson. I definitely think there's a trade, something lurking in the depths of to move him right now as we speak.
To move, and I think obviously they'd like to trade him, but even
that's
just cut
what
him.
I'm
but
saying.
Wasn't there a $2 million roster bonus he just got the other day?
I don't know.
Obviously they would have liked to have moved him or traded him before that happened, but
well, you don't know yet, but you can't bank on that because Johnson's not here yet and signed and sealed. So if you run past the date of getting signed and then all the incentives and all the bonuses coming up about this time of year that fall into players who played the previous years who have new signing bonus, the new contract incentive bonuses.
Do you think this year is the year they do that, or do you think they add basically those three guys, Everson Griffin, Brian Robinson, and Michael Johnson in this basically rotation? Johnson's playing both sides, relieving both of those guys, or each getting, you know, similar snap counts. And then if that happens and you sign Michael Johnson to a one-year contract kind of as a prove-it deal, you got all this money and then you kind of laid an egg last year down there in Tampa. You had these injury problems. He proves that he's a great signing. Next year, that's when you move on from Robinson, probably because you take less of a cap hit, and that's when you give Michael Johnson a big deal.
I think so. I think there's a lot of things you can do up and down that line. I know they can make it really, really super dangerous for a lot of people to have to block those kinds of players that we're talking about, including Robinson. Because Robinson and Griffin are such great athletes, they really are. And now Johnson, another good athlete, but let's not forget the other guy, Anthony Barr. Let's not forget how you can play with him if you have three or four really athletic, really powerful guys up front, which we do have with those three ends. With those three, I'm not talking about Joseph. I'm not talking about anyone else, but those three defensive ends and Anthony Barr, that's a dangerous, volatile combination you can put together with a lot of different schemes and stunts. And it can be dangerous. really, I love our chances to get to the quarterback with those kinds of athletes. They're quick, they're explosive. I mean, Robinson throws the damn shot put 68 feet. I mean, that's world class.
Too bad we won't get anybody else, because I'm all now, woe is me. I'm part of the
middle linebacker,
the Minnesota Viking fan club that's going, what the heck are they doing? Are they gonna make any moves whatsoever? All of these guys, every single one of the guys.
You're the guy that says, I'm tired of spending all this money. You're the kind of GM that would be, I don't want to spend that kind of money.
Well, when it comes to signing the big, huge money guys, the top of the top of the Mike Iapatis, but when you can get guys that maybe don't cost as much money, that second to third tier guys that we're now missing out on because we're not making any moves. But Chris Culliver, I didn't want to pay him $8 million a year. So move on. But it was
never. Who's a middle linebacker? I mean, I know. What's
Brandon,
his name? Maluga.
Flowers. No, what's the
Flowers?
Guy?
Yeah, Flowers. But that's...
No, he's a cornerback.
He's a corner, and that's a whole...
The middle linebacker there. From the Buffalo Bills who they let go.
Spikes.
Yeah, Brandon Spikes. That's who I was thinking of. He's still out there.
And Kiko Alonso, that's a good athlete. I don't know if he ever played... Did they play a 3-4 scheme last year a lot? So he was an inside guy, too. Alonso.
Alonso didn't play last year, though, remember?
16-game ACL, MCL.
Yeah.
But before that, he was really good. I looked up all of his stats, and he had a good year.
His rookie year in 2013 was amazing.
They had him in the top 100 players in the NFL coming back into this season. I looked that up. He was part of the top 100 players as voted on by the players. He's a beast. Come on back. I'll tell you who's a beast. Who do we have as a beast? Huh. You wonder, I don't know where Zagoda is. I don't know if he's ready.
He's ready. We got to go.
He's in Phoenix right now. I don't want him on.
He's at a pool right now, sunning himself margarita with one of those.
So he'll be ready? Yeah. Is he ready to go or not?
Yeah, he'll be ready.
We're ready for him then. So Jay-Z's up next. We'll talk a little basketball and a little dis dat, lat, emphasis on the lat next.
Minnesota Golden Gopher Women's Hockey on 105 The Ticket.
Bada shoots, she scores! Hendrick for Rachel Bada!
The Gophers look to win their third national championship in 4 years.
Huge save, Levier!
The NCAA quarterfinals from Ritter Arena. Gophers and the Rochester Institute of Technology Tigers. Saturday at 4 p.m.
Minnesota Golden Gopher Women's Hockey.
Cameron Easy save, rebound! They score! Minnesota wins!
Championship hockey is played on 105 The Ticket. Feel that? Radioactive Sports. 105 The Ticket.
What do you want, crack?
Around the world. To the beach, y'all.
Around the world.
Y'all know.
Look at the captain go. I mean, I'm the captain. Watch me go.
Yeah. No, please, stay here. I need you.
I got a good show here.
I
have a good show. I mean, I'm not kidding. This is good. It gets great. You think it don't?
I think it is.
It gets great when Jerry Zagoda, Jay-Z, joins the show. I think he's standing by poolside in Arizona somewhere. Jerry Zagoda, are you there? Are you wearing Speedos?
Oh, come on, keep up. Superstar, it's Oklahoma City tonight, and it's raining.
I'm sorry, I told the superstar you're in Phoenix. I forgot about that.
He told me you were in Phoenix. I thought you were taking a little vacation away from the club.
I forgot about that. You guys played the Phoenix Suns on Wednesday or whatever night.
Yeah, that was a good one to forget.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. Kevin Garnett didn't play for his second game in a row. All these days with NFL free agency, and we have the Big Ten college basketball tournament. I mean, our minds are just mushes. We can't wait to go crack a cold one open here after the show.
Let me start again then, Jerry. What's the temperature there? Yeah, let's do it again. Yeah, here we go. Hold on. We got to reset this. Secondary. Hang on. Hold on.
Super Bowl homeboy.
There you go. Okay, that's good.
Crack is whack.
Tell me about it. I'm on it right now. I'd like to bring in Jerry Zagoda. What's the temperature there in Oklahoma, Jerry?
It's probably a little chilly. It's probably high 50s, low 60s, a little bit of rain.
Okay,
so not nearly as nice as it was in Phoenix where it was 88 and sunny.
But do they have a pool there at the place you're staying at?
You know, I haven't even checked it out.
Well, it might be warm enough for you to get out and get some sun.
They do have a rooftop bar, though. I know that.
Perfect.
Okay, that's great. Then, awesome. Maybe set yourself up with a little margarita after we're done with this, and pour yourself a Budweiser for me too. I'd love one right now. I mean, I'm sitting here with Ben Holson, and it's driving me crazy.
It's enough to make me want to drink too, Jerry. But that's all right.
You understand, right, Jerry?
I understand completely.
You didn't have to, but the Suns, that was great. The Timberwolves are probably not so great. Injury prone. Petkovic out again with the
issue. 8 minutes.
Yeah, out again. And we could just go on and on and on. But Payne is a bright light. Kevin Garnett sits down for a while, gives himself a break. What does all this mean? I mean, are they jockeying for that position that we know that they should be jockeying for come the end of this season?
Of course they are.
Of course they are.
They've been happy. You know?
Yes.
They're
all the same team.
They're ecstatic. Of course they are.
They'll never say it. They'll never admit to it. But yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
Of course.
You know, when Garnett doesn't play, they say, "Well, his knee's kind of sore. He needs a rest.
Okay.
He's not feeling well." You know, it's you know, they just they're keeping I'm sure they're keeping a really close eye on. Like last night, I tweeted out. I was just aghast that the late game on TNT wasn't Lakers Knicks, so that Wolves fans could follow the race for the bottom to see who was going to win that one. Because that's what they're watching. I mean, they're watching. I mean, they obviously want to develop players. You want to see how Justin Hamilton does. And you want to see how Wiggins grows, and if those guys, you know, who have played all year, who are young, can fight through it and finish the season strong. But they're looking at where, you know, I don't think they're looking to necessarily, you know, drop down below New York or make sure they're below Philadelphia. But they don't want to start leapfrogging teams. They don't want to leap over the Lakers and anybody else above them, and you know, win games for no reason, and, you know, take their lottery chances from, you know, what, 45, 50 or better chance of getting a top three pick to, you know, ended up picking fourth, fifth, or sixth. So that's what they're doing, but you'll never get them to say it because nobody in the league does. No one mentions the T word.
Yeah, of course not. Jerry Zagota, the Timberwolves beat writer for the Minneapolis Star Tribune. It's interesting because since Kevin Garnett's been in here, I believe we've leapfrogged at least one team, if not two. And I was playing that NBA draft lottery game last night, and we ended up getting the first overall draft pick several more times than we did before when we were the second possible the rating, the biggest percentage to get that number one overall draft pick. We'd either get number one, number two, or number five, or number six quite often. I thought it was interesting. But you mentioned Justin Hamilton and the continued development of him. We got him from the Miami Heat, I believe. Was it off waivers?
New Orleans off waivers. Miami traded him at the trade deadline. New Orleans. New Orleans never played him, and then cut him like, you know, 10 days, 2 weeks later, then the Wolves picked him up.
But for a big guy, that man can really, really run the court. I was watching that game against Phoenix. He had 13 points, but I thought it was most important that he was running the court with the rest of the guys and in transition and dunking the ball. He's a pretty big guy and pretty maneuverable for does he play power forward?
Well, they call him a center, but, you know, he's a slim, you know, he runs the court. A guy who can find some open space. He likes a two-handed dunk a lot.
Yeah.
But, you know, he's also a guy who, I don't think he has three-point range, but he can stretch the floor and shoot. So he's, you know, he's kind of the new modern NBA center, you know, more kind of the, not a three-pointer, but like Channing Frye, but more that kind of size and build, you know. Big guy, but not a lot of weight on him, but a guy who's agile and has a good deal of skill.
Jerry, with Garnett in the game, and these guys, when they're playing healthy, for the most part, they're a pretty good team. They're not bad. Now, you add to that a nice piece from the lottery. What do we have here? I mean, I know that we're sort of backing off here, trying to ease into this thing so that we can get positioned better, obviously, for the draft. But, I mean, how much team do we have then next year if we can keep everything together and stay healthy? Do you like what you're seeing develop now that Kevin Garnett is here?
Well, you have to realize, too, that they haven't, you know, they still don't have Shabazz Muhammad.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Lester, I guess, is Anthony Bennett, but, you know, who knows what he turns into. So they're not, you know, completely healthy yet. You don't know all the pieces. But then you start watching games last night. Like, you watch the Spurs and the Cavs, and, you know, you watch the Rockets play and Portland play with Lillard. And, you know, that's just a skill level that they don't have yet. Now, maybe Wiggins becomes that. That's why I'm not convinced. The more I watched the game last night, the Cavs and the Spurs, I'm not convinced that even if, you know, maybe if they got number one, it might be a no-brainer. But, you know, I'm not convinced they don't take a guard over even a big man just because the way the game has changed. And, you know, you watch Ricky Rubio night after night, and he, you know, maybe he grows into it, but it's hard to play with a guy who the other team doesn't have to defend. You know, a guy who doesn't shoot well and, you know, doesn't really score, at least not on a par with those elite teams. If that's where you're trying to get to, and you're playing Damian Lillard and Kyrie Irving and those kinds of players, James Harden every night, you got to match that skill level. And the question is, how do they find that? You know, is one of those two guards in the draft this year, the kid from Ohio State or the kid who's playing over in China, are they that kind of talent? That's the thing they're going to have to look at and think about and discuss long and hard before the draft in June.
Yeah, you and I were didn't have a super back and forth, but a little Twitter dealio last night about D'Angelo Russell. And I just, the way Flip Saunders said that Zach LaVine's going to play more towards the two for the rest of the season, see what we have there. I like him. His shot's looking nice. I feel like he's growing nicely into an NBA body. I see what you're saying about Ricky Rubio, but when he was injured and he was not in the team, it was, again, with the whole Kevin Garnett situation. Kevin Garnett doesn't necessarily score a lot of points, doesn't play a lot of minutes, but he does a lot and affects the team when he's on the court. Ricky Rubio does the same thing. I get what you're saying, that they don't necessarily have to guard him, but unless you're going to move Ricky Rubio, which likely could happen, they just signed him to, what was it, a four-year, $44 million contract.
That means nothing for a trade.
No, I know.
You could trade that in a heartbeat. So.
Yeah, but to get one of these younger guys instead of another big just makes no sense to me, just because of the fact that we saw it was Hamilton and Gorky Jang on Wednesday against the Phoenix Suns. Peck is injury-prone. Kevin Garnett, it's not like he's a guy that's going to come out there and play any more than 20 minutes for you. Adrian Payne looks really nice. We got him from the Atlanta Hawks for a future first-round draft pick. And then Anthony Bennett, he's a guy we're calling the Aaron Hicks of the Minnesota Timberwolves. Not impressed at all.
Well, it depends what you think of, say, those two guys in the draft, their skill level. I mean, you've got to figure out, and maybe you think Towns' skill level, or I won't mention the guy's name at Duke.
Yeah,
but,
thank you.
His skill level for big, I mean, obviously he is very gifted scoring-wise. It's all a matter of what you think of it is. But, you know, this is a game that's more and more perimeter-oriented, dominated by the guards. And I just look out, you know, you project Rubio out. LaVine could be a nice player, but he doesn't have that kind of skill. I don't think he'll... You know, I don't think he has the vision. I don't think he'll ever have the skill level that those elite kind of guys do. Those guys come in the league and you can pretty much tell fairly quickly, you know, that they're cut above everybody else. So I'm not saying it's going to happen. I just think it's something they need to think about. And I don't think it's a slam dunk that if they get two, they just take whoever the other big guy left is. And then at three and four, you take guards. I think they're going to have to talk about it.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, Jerry. As a go-to Timberwolves beat writer, Minneapolis Star Tribune, but at the same time, I hate combo guards. I hate tweeners, which is what, in my opinion, D'Angelo Russell will be in the NBA. We've already got a glut of people there. Obviously, if the who shall not be named is gone and Towns is gone, I don't want us just reaching for the next big guy just because I want us to get a big guy. But if we're at number one or number two, I want us... hopefully the Timberwolves to go after one of those bigs. We could really help that. And I think that the NBA is switching more towards perimeter play because there aren't those dominant big guys anymore. There aren't those Shaqs, those Alonzo Mournings, Hakeem Olajuwon, Patrick Ewings that the NBA was so flush with, obviously, a little bit more than a decade ago.
So have you already jumped off the Gorgui Dieng bandwagon?
Sounds like it. No, but I think Gorgui Dieng, I would love to see him come off the bench. He's not a full-time guy. Oftentimes, he looks lost out there.
Well, last year, there were people on my Twitter followers who were ready to, you know, they wanted, last season, they wanted to trade Peck and anoint him the full-time starter, and you're right, he's not ready for it. He's not strong enough yet. He may be someday, but, you know, he can't guard, you know, the really big, the DeAndre Jordans down low who have that kind of size and strength that he's just not strong enough yet.
You talked about Muhammad, though. I mean, I love his chances when he comes back.
The Prophet?
Oh, absolutely.
You talking about the Prophet?
Oh, yeah.
We should start calling him the Prophet.
I do.
And then we'll probably get assassinated by ISIS.
Of course. Very likely we're going to anyway. The way we do, the way we operate around here, there's a good chance that may happen anyway. But I just think that we've got some decent talent here, some really good talent that can run up and down. I think we can find, if we do find something special in the lottery, let's hope for the best from Duke. That you have a pretty solid team and a sixth man that come off the bench and do some damage. Actually, a seventh man, too.
Well, it's all how you grade it. And, yeah, they do have talent compared to what they have. But then, you know, the more you watch the elite teams, you just see how far away they are from those teams. Just the number of players.
I mean, Kyrie with 57 last night.
Pardon?
I mean, 57 points last night for Kyrie.
No, it's
unbelievable.
That kind of... You need, you know, a guy like a Lillard or Harden, those kind of guys, that's what you need to stay up in the arms race, and they got to figure out, you know, is Wiggins that guy to get him there, or how do they get there?
Yeah. It's a lot of things to look into, and I'm sure that that's what they're doing, and they're buying themselves time to do just that and making some different moves with the young man, LaVine, changing him up to see what he can finally do coming down the stretch here.
He's got a beautiful looking
at next year's team is what can he play, what can he grow into. He's a special athlete. He truly is. We all know that now after the dunk competition. But Jerry Zagota, you're a very special guy as well. Even though you're not in Speedos right now in Oklahoma, we think you're the best.
And I'm not in Phoenix either.
Well, I mean, you know, I thought maybe you're kind of like Demetrius Underwood. You'd taken a taxi from Phoenix over to Oklahoma City and, you know, something like that.
I was worried you're laying in the street after stabbing yourself in the neck.
With a pen.
Yeah. No good.
But that's okay. That's what you writers are kind of all about. I mean, stabbing your neck in the...
They don't use pens anymore. It's all online. It's all digital.
Jerry Zagoda, you're one of our favorite guys here. So you'll join us again sometime, right? Did we make you mad at all?
Certainly.
Okay, great.
Anytime. You can call me anytime.
Okay, well, thank you.
Thanks,
very much.
Have a good weekend.
Enjoy yourself poolside. Have a nice cold one for me.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I think we got a good nucleus here.
Ooh.
I think we, the Timberwolves, we got a good nucleus of
somebody going
on. I guess some youth and that Garnett thing. I think that was working instantly and they know it. So they're backing off the plate and not showing their cards.
Mm-hmm. Just add another guy.
Yeah, that one guy from by way of Chicago who knows one kid here from locally here.
You're giving up too much information.
Yeah, I don't want to say the name.
You shall not be named. But then you had a guy who had like a mid-level exception guy.
That, yeah.
Super Bowl, here we come.
Super Bowl homeboy.
Yeah.
Four and a half questions, here we come. That's what we want to do next. You asked me four questions. You asked me a short half question. That doesn't make any sense. You came up with it. It's your fault. We'll do that next.
From pro to college to high school, we've got it all covered.
This guy is continuously failing drug tests. He has to be suspended because he's a loser. He's just an irresponsible mess.
Passionate sports talk on your sports station, 105 The Ticket.
Gets a screen from Kanate, a little pick and roll action. Pass back down low to Kanate. His hook shot tumbles through. Front rim and down in. To Kanate, now to Jeju. Jeju in the paint. His layup is good. There's the two freshmen. And here come the Gophers. Nate Mason, full steam ahead. Layup good, off balance, and he got it to go.
I work here at The Ticket. 105 The Ticket. I have a show called Radioactive Sports. My co-host, Aaron Hicks. I forgot to turn my microphone on. Aaron, turn my microphone on, dude.
Sorry about that, buddy.
That's pretty cool. We got four and a half questions there that Aaron came up with. Great idea.
You're Aaron Hicks.
You're Aaron Hicks.
No, you're the Aaron Hicks of radio. I came up with that. I'm the Aaron Hicks of radio starting on Wednesday.
No, I'm just
a
hick.
You copied me.
I'm a hick.
Aaron
Hicks.
Yeah,
you got most of it right.
Aaron Hicks.
You can call me a redneck and a hick, but you can't call me what you're called.
You can call me whatever you want to call
Aaron,
me. Don't call me a late presenter.
God, I hate your guts. Four and a half questions. I don't care. I will do the very best I can to answer. I mean, the bottom line is I try.
Question one. The Wild begin a five-game stretch tonight. Could easily wind up being in the grinder up against teams. Can I start over?
If you want to, Aaron.
Okay. The Wild began a five-game stretch that could easily grind up the team's recent progress like a wood chipper. Anaheim, home tonight.
No kidding.
St. Louis tomorrow. Nashville Tuesday.
That is a meat grinder.
Home against Washington Thursday. Home against St. Louis next Saturday. Obviously, I think the team is capable of beating all four of these teams, but realistically, what is success and what is failure for the Wild this next week?
I mean, this is it right here. I mean, this is kind of a showdown. This next week is a showdown for this team. You want to find out what you're truly... Are you a special team, or are you just a really good hockey squad?
You're special.
Are you very, very special? Like Aaron over here. I think if they can pull off half of those, you know.
Well, there's three out of five. So two and a half wins, I mean, it's hard to do. Although you can
I mean, three out of five would be unbelievable against that lineup. That's a tough, tough stretch.
Then what's failure?
Failure is to bomb and win one out of the five.
So even if they win two out of five, it's okay.
Well.
But if they win one or less, that's a failure.
Oh, absolutely.
Realistically, they can... They're the hottest team in the NHL. They can win.
Very, very good squad. But here's the thing.
And
you're right. They could. But the thing they have against them is the way these are going back-to-back. It's the way these great teams are lining up now. One, two, three, four, five. Right down the line. They've had a schedule set up in such a way that they could keep people fresh with like an every other day game and some time off then and then back to the grind again. But knocking down some of these big teams... And on the road, and all in a row. I mean, this is going to be who you are this season. I mean, it's like the old Bill Parcells thing is like, you are who you are after this run of five games.
Yeah,
that's what squad you are.
Gopher men's basketball team bounced from the Big Ten tournament. They lost to The Ohio State University last night in Chicago. That clip that we played, basically the future of the Minnesota Gophers, all three freshmen, Gaston Giaju, Bicardi Kanate, and Nate Mason, all with a little scoring thing there that I played, thanks to our good friends at ESPN2. Do you think the coaching staff and players are just happy to get away from each other? I mean, Patino said 99% sure he declined an invitation to those CBI, CIT things we've been talking about. When asked about it by our guy Marcus Fuller, guard DeAndre Matthews said, quote, I don't even know what the CBI is. I'd rather go to the rec center or something like that.
I think that pretty much says it all right there. When a head coach says, I'm 99% sure I'm not going to accept that. Someone else doesn't know what it is. You and I.
But why wouldn't they accept it? Except for the fact that they hate each other.
I think it's a black eye if you do. I think it's a black eye.
Isn't it a black eye if you don't even get invited to the NIT? I mean, that's a black eye enough.
That's bad enough. Don't join up and lose in that one, too. Watch them go in there and just get blown up by Siena. By who else was in there? Well, George Mason. Honestly, I don't think you want to set yourself up for yet another black eye. Mm. You sit there looking like Zach Parise after he's been nailed by his teammates
question,
with a stick and a puck.
Question number three. Timberwolves forward Anthony Bennett, he's a millionaire. Barely old enough to drink booze. Often injured, thinks he's good at shooting the basketball, but realistically, he may go down as one of the biggest draft busts in NBA history after being chosen number one overall 2 years ago by the Cleveland Cavaliers. And last summer, obviously, transforming his body from chunk to rip. Rip, the sky's the limit when it comes to his potential. And he said recently, he's ready to tap into it. With the addition of Adrian Payne from the Atlanta Hawks, and then, of course, Kevin Garnett. Do you see Anthony Bennett rising to the occasion, or is he the Twin Cities' newest version of Aaron Hicks?
You would know. I think here's a guy that's changed his body up. That's good, but his habits are still the old Bennett. When you want to bring the habits along and bring that along with this newfound sort of physical capability that you now have, when you bring your work habits and your professionalism to the game the way those other guys do, Garnett, it appears that Payne does. It appears that we have guys on this team that know what that kind of work ethic is. That's when he'll finally tap into it. But if he doesn't bring his attitude, I don't care what he's done to his body. Nothing. It won't happen. And he will indeed be the next Aaron Hicks.
Question four. Vikings fans up in arms after the team didn't make a splash on the first day or the second day. Now, after day after day after day, it seems like potential signees or players they were interested in, obviously signing elsewhere. The list is long and growing by the day. Is it time to ask what the heck is going on over at Winter Park with quite a few significant holes to fill? I mean, how do you expect them to continue to progress after losing out on left guard Clint Bowling, safety Raheem Moore, cornerback Chris Culliver, among others? I could go on for a while now. Plus, now Jasper Brinkley isn't even an option, signed with a 2-year contract with the Dallas Cowboys.
Well, they have a plan.
Is it time to start panicking?
It's not time to start panicking. They're not panicking over all these free agents they're looking at. They're overpaid. They know every one of them is overpaid. They have a plan. There's no question. This has kind of been their MO for a long time now. It's not unusual for the Vikings to pass on the free agent market. They just don't play it that often. I don't remember the last really big splash they've made on free agency. I mean, I really haven't. Name one enormous, like one of these.
Well, not enormous, but two
things or a splash.
The first couple of days there was. Last year there were Captain Munnerlyn, Linval Joseph, resigned your own guys. But still, you're making some moves. You're signing somebody. Well, the year before, I think it was Greg Jennings, wasn't it?
I think so.
Yeah,
maybe so. But
in the years before that, before Zimmer was here and Brad Childress' years, we were signing people left and right like crazy, massive guys.
I would maybe not agree with that completely, but I know that there was a big trade. There was a big trade with Jared Allen during that time. I would say that they are pretty much going by what they've always done and believed in doing. Like Munnerlyn, not a big deal. What they did do was they went back and signed some people. They already had big names, big contracts. Everson Griffin, Kyle Rudolph, that was big money. I mean, it was huge money. Yeah. I mean, they did re-sign Matt Cassel. Those were all pretty big steps.
Yeah, that was last year.
But those are our own guys, though.
Yeah,
but
fine.
And that's a splash.
I know. We haven't done anything this year. I haven't done one thing.
Well, but no, I mean, we re-signed some people that needed to be re-signed. That's not true. We had to get some people back.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, we did.
Oh,
we did.
Oh, no, you're fine. Yeah,
we put Tom Johnson back on the roster. We had, which is not that big a deal, but yet it is. It is. It's a core player that you have to have. You can say what you want to about Berger and Mike Harris. That they count. They do. In the long run, depth is going to, if you get a big stud to move in over there at left guard, you get Fusco back, you get Lodeholt back, but you have good depth still. And you have to hope. I'm scared to death with what is going to happen with Matt Khalil. I just want him to be the old guy, and then find a good guard. I don't know. Maybe it's someone they have their heart set on in the draft. There are a lot of good players in the draft this year that can step in as an offensive lineman and play it straight up and down.
Okay, fine.
I could settle you down.
Half question. Tomorrow I'm going to be in Lower Town, St. Paul, CHS Field, new St. Paul Saints deal, 11 to noon. New home of the St. Paul Saints. It's brand spankingly new.
Yikes.
In fact, the Sean Aronson, the voice of the Saints, and I will host a baseball show this summer from CHS Field before Saturday home games. You hung out with those guys often last summer during live broadcasts. We're going to talk to Sean Aronson next, but tell me what's one word to describe Sean so I know who I'm going to have to deal with here.
I would describe Sean Aronson as attention to detail. What is he? He's a I'd say crafty. I would say crafty.
Is he going to be okay? Is he going to be able to hang out with my jeeky jackedness, or is he going to be too like?
No. He's the kind of guy that can.
He's jiggy-jack.
He can fold right in.
Okay, perfect.
I'm not kidding either. I mean, I think the guy gets it.
I talked to him already on the phone today. He seems hilarious and fun.
I think you'll have a great time with him.
Good. We'll talk to him next.
Well, then let's just do that.
Let's do it.
Right here at Radioactive Spalt.
The NASCAR Sprint Cup Series. Only on 105 The Ticket.
Coming back into the corner, and Kevin Harvick hasn't given up yet, but the leader is Jeff Gordon.
Will Kevin Harvick continue his streak of top two finishes? Find out Sunday during the Camping World 500, live from Phoenix International Raceway. Sunday at 1:30 p.m.
Hi, this is Brad Keselowski.
This is Dylan Hart Jr.
This is Jeff Gordon.
This is Jimmy Johnson.
This is Kevin Harvick.
Your home for NASCAR in the Twin Cities is Sports Radio 105 The Ticket. Superstar Mike Morris and Ben Holson. You're listening to 105 The Ticket.
Like this cheeky song here in Hicks of Radio?
No, this is good stuff right here. This is very much St. Paul Saints music. Aw.
Huh?
Saints come marching in.
Lower Town, St. Paul, here we come.
That's good stuff. Brand new digs, too. Brand new digs. I was down there when they were picking out all the hinges for the doggone cabinets and the doors and the locks and everything they had to decide upon for the new house for the St. Paul Saints. Sean Aronson now joins us, the voice of the St. Paul Saints.
Thanks for having me, guys. This is an exciting time for us right now.
Absolutely.
It must be.
I'll be down there from 11 to noon, but you've got it going on from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Get a sneak peek at CHS Field tomorrow. Pick your season tickets. 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You're going to have fun. Hopefully, because fun is good, by the way. Food, beer, prizes. We'll be hanging out, just taking a look at the new field, which is unbelievably amazing. I haven't seen it in person yet because you haven't allowed anybody in. But what are we going to be doing tomorrow?
Yeah, tomorrow's really our first sort of kickoff event where those people that up to this point haven't purchased season tickets, they can come out, check out what's available, which season tickets have gone extremely fast up to this point, but they can come see what's available, sit in the seat, kind of test drive it, and decide which ones they want to buy. We've already had 400 RSVPs for tomorrow's event.
Jeez.
So, yeah, it's been overwhelming, the response that we've gotten from the community. It's gone beyond our wildest dreams. It's been great. You know, you mentioned how you haven't been down here yet because we haven't let people in. I now know what zoo animals feel like because as people walk by the ballpark and they peer through the gates and sort of like look around, I'm walking in the ballpark doing things, I honestly feel like I'm a zoo animal. Now, you can feed me if you want. Feel free to throw food at me all you want. But yeah, we can't wait to let people in tomorrow.
It's fantastic. And your fans, of all the fans in the world, they deserve this new ballpark. And they deserve, the Saints, again, in this brand new ballpark. And you, now that you mentioned it, to be fed, I mean, what is the food going to be like? What is the food going to be like at the new ballpark? That's something you have to ask, is what is the new menu? That's the first question.
Yeah, it's a great question. I mean, CHS Field is going to offer a lot of things that we couldn't at Midway. And part of the reason is because we're going to have actual kitchens, which we never had, you know, at the old ballpark. We have employed Levy Restaurants, who then purchased PSC, and some people may be familiar with Levy. They run the food over at the Xcel Energy Center. They're going to run our food and beverage department. So we are working side by side with them to come up with some great options. You know, I know there are a number of minor league teams that have gotten creative with what they do. Maybe you guys saw this a couple of days ago.
When did we ever? Yeah, the Krispy Kreme deal?
Yes. You know,
we talked about that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, so we realize that while we've done a fantastic job on the promotion side and, you know, our theme nights and things like that, that we want to step up on the food side as well, so that when fans come to CHS Field, they're going to get the full experience.
Talking to Sean Aronson, the voice of the St. Paul Saints, and tomorrow the big event down at CHS Field in Lower Town. Pick your season ticket seats from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. You can RSVP. Just go to saintsbaseball.com/pick-your-seat. Sean, now, obviously, everybody knows what the St. Paul Saints are known for. Fun is good. You go to the old stadium, the dump. I mean, really, is probably what everybody called it. That's what it kind of looked. But it had that I don't know. It had that great feel, and you'd go and you'd drink cheap beer and cheap hot dogs, and the nuns giving back rubs and haircuts and pigs and this and that. Are you going to lose all of that when you go into this big, brand new, shiny new stadium down in Lower? Now that you're big time in Lower Town, St. Paul, or I mean, you're still the St. Paul Saints, right?
Yeah, not big time. By any means, this CHS Field doesn't happen without three things: the community, the city of St. Paul, and the state of Minnesota. Without the three of those, this CHS Field is not even a remote possibility. I've been telling people this ever since I knew we were moving into the ballpark. Different address, same Saints. it really is. If we all of a sudden treated ourselves any differently, treated our fans any differently, we're going to lose our fan base. And we realize we can't do that. So we realize people are going to watch us that much more now that we're at CHS Field. We're going to step our game up that much higher now because we have to be even quirkier than we were at Midway.
I agree. I mean, and how could your team, of all teams, the St. Paul Saints, not do that, run by the Vex in the way they've been run for so many years, and having Mike on so many times here on this very radio station, knowing what his personality is, and having a surprise call from time to time from Mr. Murray himself is, I mean, how would those people and Bill Murray possibly stand for anything less than what they've been giving them there before in the past for so many years? It's a great place to go. And this will be equally as good a place to go because the Saints are there and because you guys are there. It's going to be a madhouse every night.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest difference, you know, that people will notice is they'll be more comfortable in the seats that they're sitting in. I mean, that'll be it. I mean, long gone now are the bench seats that we had at Midway. I mean, it's, you know, it's regular ballpark chairback type seats. So you're going to be more comfortable while you're, you know, laughing your sides till they hurt. So that's going to be the good thing for people. But, you know, we've joked about it for a while. You know, you'd go to the bathroom at Midway, and then three innings later, you'd finally get out of the bathroom.
Exactly.
The lines were forever. Here, bathrooms aplenty, points of sale all the way around, 360-degree concourse that you can, you know, walk around and you can check out the beautiful downtown skyline. You can check out the bluffs. You can check out the river. I mean, it's gorgeous. So you come here and it's going to be your overall experience is going to be heightened.
I think that's the best thing about CHS Field. We're talking to the voice of the St. Paul Saints, Sean Aronson. Because pregame, postgame, I mean, obviously there was tailgating, and the St. Paul Saints fans did a great job of that. But there were no bars or no place to go have a couple of drinks before the game, after the game, hang out in downtown St. Paul is going to be amazing. You kind of mentioned some things here. You're moving into this big, brand new, beautiful place, and you're going to up your game a little bit. Can you let any of those secrets out of the bag, or is that a surprise?
Yeah, you know, it's what we spend an entire off season racking our brains to figure out. All right, how can we get creative? What kind of things do we want to poke fun at? What's going to be relevant when our season is around? And that's the hardest thing. So over the next probably 6 weeks is when we will finalize our promotional schedule and come up with the quirkiest of all quirky promotions. You know, I'd like to do something. I've sort of kicked this around. I'd like to do something based upon the Serial podcast, which was a huge, huge hit, most downloaded podcast, except I'd like to make it a Serial podcast, CEREAL, where where you have like a serial character. Yeah, you have a serial character get murdered, and then the rest of the serial characters you wind up interviewing to find out who did it. Sort of a murder mystery type of thing. There are different ideas that we spend the off season kicking around. I promise we'll release our promotional schedule soon, and people will not be disappointed at all.
Hey, I've got some great ideas for you.
Sure.
With those serial killers, we have plenty of information, definitely some different things that can be acted out, actually, from time to time in seventh inning stretches. I'm sure we can get some. And I need to at least long snap one pitch to open one of the games.
For
I have
sure.
to be able to do that.
Yeah, the superstar is a serial killer aficionado.
Oh,
he knows.
Yeah.
I mean, it's honest to God.
Straight away. Oh, yeah.
He studies that thing like it's crazy. You have several books. Encyclopedias.
I have a serial killer library.
Yeah, John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about this stuff off the air,
Albert
Sean.
Albert Fish, look him up.
CHS Field, the St. Paul Saints season tickets are on sale now. You can go to saintsbaseball.com. Tomorrow, the public's first opportunity to check out the brand new CHS Field. Rain or shine. It looks like a gorgeous day tomorrow, though. But the event featuring ballpark tours, refreshments, the one-of-a-kind chance to sit in your potential season ticket seat location. The club space will be open for guests to mingle. The first beer port at the ballpark, watch live sporting events on TV, and all guests will be entered to win four club seats for opening night. You can RSVP, send an email, just go to saintsbaseball.com/pick-your-seat.
Yeah, and if you haven't RSVP'd and you don't have a chance to, just come on down tomorrow. We're welcoming. We're going to open the gates. The more the merrier. It's going to be a party from here on out at CHS Field, and we want to make sure everybody enjoys it.
Awesome.
The voice of the St. Paul Saints, Sean Aronson. Thank you very much for your time, sir.
Mike, Ben, thank you very much.
We'll see you out at the old ballpark.
I'll be down there tomorrow. Good. See you tomorrow, Sean.
See you tomorrow, Ben.
Look forward to meeting you 11 to 1 or 11 to noon. I'll be down there, but they're open from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., so check it out. It's going to be a lot of fun down there.
Good stuff, and we're going to take a little break. When we come back, my good friend.
No, whoa. Our good friend.
My good friend.
No, our.
God, I love being fought over on a Friday night.
There's the voice right there. That my friend.
Friend.
My friend Brian Murphy.
Our friend Brian Murphy.
Who brought flowers? Who's driving? Who's picking up the tab? That's what I want to know.
Gun. Well, that can all be Mike. I'm just along for the ride. If he's your friend's exclusively.
Well, he's a chauffeur. He's my friend. I mean, you should have to just drive.
Sometimes I hate him. He's the Aaron Hicks of radio. Did you know that?
What, he get picked off?
He just doesn't pay any attention.
I think it's being...
How many outs are there?
Trust me.
Are you on? What's the number?
Five or six. Letters? I like it when he doesn't pop my mic up. I think that's not being in the game. There you go. Perfect. There you go. That's what I deal with.
It's been a heck of a week
here. Aaron Hicks, the best in the business. Brian Murphy joins us next.
Three signals strong. 105 The Ticket.